bodies are built to self-resurrect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Thought for Today. Our bodies are built to self-resurrect. What an interesting concept. What an interesting idea. Our bodies are built to self-resurrect. We keep saying that our bodies are divinely constructed, divinely designed, divinely being, and some animals we recognize, like a salamander, can regrow its tail, and other creatures can regrow certain elements of their body. And we think, well, why can't we, with the human body, regrow parts of our body and regrow aspects of our body that are needed or which we need to replace? We might create a new liver, for instance, and still have the old liver. And then little by little, transmute the old liver to all the functions into the new liver. Now, is that being done? In the Discovery Magazine for March, a very interesting article appears on growing liver in lymph nodes and growing a new you. My goodness sakes. These are things that are being done in biological laboratories by scientists who are quite remarkable in their attitudes and their way of looking at things. And they have found that in the lymph nodes of a human being, they can grow livers. They can grow other things. They've done this in rats and mice. They've done this in other creatures. And they found that it's quite feasible that it could be done in humans. And not yet, but they feel that it can come in quite near future. Now, where 100 they have a number here for that. So many thousand, yeah, here it is. Yet just 6,000 available livers for 100,000 patients each year. Now, with the idea of growing new livers in the lymph nodes, we could have an unlimited number of them, and that could never be a problem again. It sounds kind of unusual, kind of remarkable, kind of outstanding, but these are things that are being done. Now, we can do that continuously ourselves. We can do that with our thought and by thinking about the things that we would like to not replace, but rejuvenate, resurrect, bring from our original purity and integrity into the expression of ourself now. Oh, we've done things. We've seen an emphysema. The lungs were badly disturbed, badly not destroyed, but disturbed and made not too usable. And they found that when people stopped smoking, when they stopped irritating the lungs, when they stopped destroying, not destroying, but disturbing very seriously their lung uses, by not smoking any longer, the lungs began to return to their original purity and integrity. And this has been found to be very true in many cases, and this is what doctors work on this theory. This is done today. This is done by things that are in the laboratory. But what is it that most people do? Most people, when they have an organ or an action or a function of their body that doesn't operate quite the way it should, they feel fatalistic about it. They feel that there's no way that anything can be done. There's no way that this can be rejuvenated, resurrected at all. But it is. And it is being done more and more. Now, scientific laboratories are showing that it can be done. In religious circles, in faith healing circles, you might say, this has been done for many, many years. It's been done very successfully for many, many years. But only for those people who truly put their total oneness into it. When they stopped smoking, emphysema ceased to be a problem in the body. When they stopped having thoughts that said no, and they had thoughts that said yes, the resurrection could take place in a most beautiful, fantastic manner. In the Discover magazine, they had this group of little statements here, growing a new you, and they said, regenerative medicine is in its infancy, but researchers are on the cusp of growing all kinds of limbs and organs. The following are some of the most promising candidates. And these are only some of the most promising candidates. There are many, many more that are coming up and that will be found when different scientists take that as their activity that they want to find out about. Now, the bladder. 6 years ago, the bladder became the first partially lab-grown organ to be implanted in humans. A swab of a patient's bladder cells were cultured in a dish, molded in the shape of the bladder, and tacked onto their original damaged bladder organ, restoring function. Wow! In 2010, researchers grew bladders from scratch using baboons' bone marrow stem cells. Quite a remarkable thing. The windpipe. Last year, doctors in Sweden successfully transplanted the first synthetic windpipe grown using a patient's stem cells. Previous tracheas transplanted had relied on a donor's organ. Now, muscles and digits. In 2005, a man accidentally lopped off part of his finger. Following the advice of his surgeon brother, he sprinkled the nub with powder containing part of a pig's bladder known to contain powerful proteins that regenerate tissue. The finger regrew in 4 weeks. Tissue engineers at Pitt are using the technique to help others regrow muscle in damaged arms and legs. Fish and amphibians can produce new heart cells to replace and repair damage, and the mammals, unfortunately, cannot do this yet. Researchers at the University of Washington and elsewhere are using stem cells to trigger the growth of these cells, which stop regenerating in mammals after birth. So far, the technique has reduced scarring and improved cardiac functions in rats following heart attacks. Now, Amy Barth wrote that. That's quite a fantastic bit of information. It's amazing what we can do, how we can resurrect. Indeed, our bodies are built to self-resurrect. And as it says, after mammals are growing up, they stop doing some things, which stop regenerating in mammals after birth. Well, now, we know that before birth, and while in the womb, the body of an infant is doing all sorts of wonderful things, creating from scratch. The heart, the lungs, the whole gambit of the body. Everything the body does. Now, why does it stop regenerating after birth? Well, it doesn't need to do it anymore. It has no need to go on and create this activity anymore because it's done. It has created what it has to create. But yet, if these cells, before they finish their creation, have the ability to make this creation, and we call them stem cells, could they be moved into various areas of the body where something has been gone awry? Well, true. Mentally, yes, very much so. Physiologically, yes, very much so. It's being done in laboratories, as we've just read. And this is something that's going on in the world in a most amazing and a most wonderful way. But the body, the body right now. It's built to self-resurrect. Right now, the body is built to recreate itself. The body has the original concept within it. Within the body is the original aspect of its purpose and direction and what it is to be. Now, somewhere, a little bit of cloudiness got in there and messed up the scene of what's going on. And because it messed up the scene, it seemed as though it was over. That's the end. Well, when we have a diamond, and that diamond gets a little cloudy or a little dirty, we clean it. And the basic diamond is still there, whole and perfect, wonderful and fantastic in all its glory. But it was not seen there for a while because a little bit of cloudiness got into it. A little bit of dirt and muck got on it, and it had to be cleaned off. Well, the organ actions and functions of our body have a cloudiness that gets on them, and this cloudiness is called our human thought. It's called our negative human thought, which we get on our organ actions and functions of our body, and it causes them to misdirect their way of being and their way of living. And so they no longer do things properly. They're like a cancer cell. They get the wrong message. They get the wrong message from headquarters. And when they get this wrong message from headquarters, because headquarters is all frustrated, headquarters is all disturbed about all sorts of things which are far afield from the area where the cancer is taking place. But the cancer just takes place in its most weak area. And so with these attitudes, with these thoughts in the mind, with these ways of handling things, the area gets all messed up. And so in the process, it kills the body. Parasites oftentimes kill the plant on which they're feeding, and then they have nothing more to feed and live on, and of course they die, and the plant dies. These are all relative aspects. Now, you might say, Herb, you're kind of far afield there with this idea of mind. You're kind of far afield with this idea of stem cells. You're kind of far afield with all these things. Yes, I am, aren't I? Yes, I am. But I'm not so far afield that the science of reality, the science of the physiology of the body, the science of the mental world, the mental attitudes of the mind of man and the mind of all creatures, will soon catch up. And it's not that I'm superior in this in any way, but I get a glimpse of this from scientists here and there. I get a glimpse of this from my own indwelling mental attitude. And it says to me, the body has within it, it is built to self-resurrect. It has within it all of the necessary information, all the necessary capabilities to resurrect, to return to its original purity and integrity, to return to what its original program was designed to be. But are we ready to return to that original program? Are we ready to accept it, to claim it, to know it? Or do we just say, poo-poo? Do we just say, hey, it hasn't been done yet? Yes, many, many things in this world of wonder and magic of the mind and thought haven't been done yet. They haven't been done yet because they have not been consistently programmed, consistently gone along with by all of the powers that be. And the powers that be are you and me. The powers that be are our thought. The powers that be are what a man thinks about a man is. What thoughts we have in our consciousness is the response that our life shows forth. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now, what do you want to think? These are statements made historically, so far back into history, so far back into man's thought, that it seems like it's probably something that might have been from his originating thought. Why can a salamander regrow its tail? Well, basically, for one reason, it doesn't know it cannot do it. And it does it because it likes to have its tail. Its tail is a necessary part of its balance in its body. But a tail is part of its backbone. It's part of its essential nature. It's part of who that salamander is. Now, that's another type of creature. It's not a mammal, but it has all of the functions that turn into mammalian type of living. You and I, we have a creative consciousness. We have a creative mind. We have a creative thinking process that can take us anywhere we want. Now, I am amused at the people in my life. I tell them all of these wonderful things, and they believe what I tell them. They think, yes, that's true, that's true. Yes, that's true, that's true. They proclaim this, they protest this, they acclaim this, they delight in this. And then they go right back to not using these concepts, these ideas, and this realization. They go right back to doing it. You take a car and you show a person how that car functions, and you say, this is a beautiful car. Now, if you will drive this car approximately 60 miles an hour, if you will drive this car with love and with respect, if you will bless this car and polish this car and keep this car in its original purity and integrity, it will last forever. But the car, if you allow it, rust will get after its body shell, and misuse will get after the engine, driving it beyond its limits or its design potential. And people know this. They know this. The scientists are telling us, if we will drive our car at 60 miles an hour rather than 70 or 75 miles an hour, whatever the law allows, if we will drive it at 60, we will save 25% on our gas. Wow! But we don't do it. We want to save the minutes by driving fast rather than save the money and making it last. Why do we do that? Why do we go contrary to what we know is the highest and best for our car and for ourselves? Why do we do that? Why don't we allow ourselves sleep, which is built into the design that the body has set up for itself? The body chooses to sleep, to rest. The body chooses to rejuvenate during that time. It's not a matter that the body chooses to rejuvenate. It's that the mental attitude of the mind of the body is telling the body what it's to do. When the body, the mind is relaxed, when the body is relaxed, everything functions quite nicely. When the body is not relaxed, it's nervous, it's upset, it's under pressure and under all sorts of negative attitudes, it does not function properly. It does not last long. Why is it we see these aged people living long lives? They take time to relax. They take time to be at peace. They do not let their world destroy them. And they do not let their world tear them down. They take the stem cells within their body, and they say to these stem cells that are born new every single day in our body, billions of stem, trillions, who knows how many. There, so many stem cells are born every day in our body, which are stem cells that are undirected cells. They have not been told what their purpose is to be. And doctors have found that when they have sometimes a liver cell that is being grown next to another liver cell, and the other liver cell is a negative liver cell in a liver that is no longer doing the job that it has to do. It plays a role of filtering toxins from the blood. When it's no longer doing that job properly, the new liver cell, the stem cell, liver cell, goes along with the old program. who is going to initiate that new program? Who is going to initiate the new thought that it doesn't have to be that old way? Our minds, as we would really realize it, our brain is a series of stem cells ever waiting to come forth with the newness, the perfection, the idealism, our original purity and integrity with who we really are. Our brain stem cells want to do this. That's what they're open and free to do. But we allow them to be surrounded by thoughts, and these are the activators of our stem cells, thoughts that it cannot be. Thoughts that once the illness is there, it is irreplaceable. Once things happen, that's the end. And so long as we allow these thoughts to dominate and predominate in our thinking, then we no longer are in charge of our original purity and integrity coming through and being what we really are. We have this ability to resurrect our body. And we resurrect our body. We're learning how to do it physiologically. We're learning how to do it in the laboratories of the scientists. We're learning how to do it in mice and other creatures that are similar to the human body. And as we're learning how to do it, we're finding that it works. But what is it that really works? Is what really works the scientific, chemical physiology of the body? Or is it the mental attitude of what's going on in the mind? What's going on in the brain? What's going on in the thinking system? Does the thinking system say we return to our original purity and integrity? Or does the thinking system say what is and that's all we can do? How are you going to handle that? Where are you with your thinking system? Where are you with your attitudes about life and what life's all about? Where are you? Are you there or are you not there? Are you one or are you not one? Where are you on your life path? We don't have to be where we have been for a long time. We can return to our original purity and integrity. We can return to the ideal self that we are, the awareness of it, and live it, and share it, and enjoy it, and delight in it, and have it be who we really are. Who we really are. We are an idea. We are an ideal. We are perfect. When the salamander regains its tail, it's not so unusual. For in Carillion photography, where they take pictures of energy, when a leaf has a portion of it cut away, and Carillion photography takes a picture of it, that portion that's cut away, that original portion, is still there in the picture. The energy body remains sacrosanct. And so it is with the ideal of the body man has. Its ideal body is always there, is always in that ideal body, that it's always ready to come forth, but we believe in the illusion that we believe in the dust that's on the diamond. We believe in the illusion that tells us that it's not pure and not perfect and not wonderful and not fantastic. And so long as we believe in that illusion, we will have the illusion. But you and I, we know the truth. We can return to our original purity and integrity and say, that's who we are, that's what we are, that's all we are, and that's all that matters. And when we say that's all that matters, then indeed, that is all that matters. Now, we have the choice. We have the choice of making that be all that matters now and forevermore in our world by saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. I am the ideal man. I am the ideal mammal. I am the ideal concept of that which I am. And that is what I choose to know and study and learn and reveal to myself, that it always was there and is there and always will be there. For that is who I am, and that's all that I am. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Just as I love you. I love you. I love you.